Christmas means to them and some different things throughout life that they've experienced, and just, you know, share what God's shown to them throughout their years. So we'll let you all stay there. We don't have to bring you up, but we obviously want to pray for them before they come up, because this is uncharted territory. So, Lord, we thank you for these three, Father, Ricardo, Alex, and Shane. Father, we just ask right now that just like our teachers for the children, Lord, that you calm them, Lord, that you just give them the words, Father, no matter how much they may have rehearsed or practiced or prepared, Lord, we know that that can do real good, but your spirit can do even better, Father. Lord, just guide them through this time, in Jesus' name, amen. And our first speaker today will be Ricardo.
Good morning, church, and Merry Christmas. First and foremost, I would like to praise our God Almighty for Jesus and Him being the reason for this season. However, today, I would like to talk about the Magi, who are also known as the wise men, and share with you a little bit of wisdom they left behind for us to see. These specific Magi were devoted to learning about God and His will. One could also say they were wise men for doing so. Please open up your Bibles to Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. Both you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Now, for those of you that don't know or may not know, King Herod's intention was not to worship the Lord. The king only cared about himself and keeping his seat as the king. So I'm going to read on. "After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen, when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." We can learn a lot from these men and their journey. They studied the Word of God and its prophecies. What a great example for us. Are we studying to learn about God, His will, and His promises for us? Are we working on our relationship with Him to be able to even hear Him? The Magi showed their obedience to God by not reporting to Jesus' location to King Herod. Their obedience also showed through their knowledge of the Word. Think about it for a second, church. I can think of a time in my own life when I was leaning on my own knowledge. And during that time, I was away from the church and spent a couple years away, and leaning on my own knowledge, it was bad. I had no ground to stand on, and every storm that came my way, it felt like it was blowing me down. It was blowing me away. And it seemed like I was further and further away from God. And it was almost like all my prayers were like, it was almost like they were going void. You know, that's what it felt like to me. And it was hard. And then one day I literally started crying. I started praying to God and asking Him, "What do you want me to do? What's your will for me? I've lost everything. I'm down to nothing. I do not know what to do." And He literally said, come back here. Come back to me. And the first thing that came to my mind, and it was my flesh, that is that it was, you know, what is everyone going to think? You know, I've been gone, you know, and what is everyone going to think? You know, how is everyone going to look at me? Oh, he's back. Oh, you know, all these, you just start getting all these things in your head, and it makes it very hard. You know, it makes it hard to step foot somewhere like this, you know, and because you know that people are going to look at you, you know. But when I came here, it was like the prodigal son. It was nothing like I even imagined. You know, everyone, it was almost like they were waiting for me and their arms were opened up wide. It was like I never even skipped a beat. And it was the best moment in my life in that moment. It was almost like I was resurrected, like a new life was given to me. And it changed my life for the better. And day after day, it's almost like a new blessing is coming. You know, it was just like the prodigal son, where his dad came and brought all the things, a nice clothes bag, a ring, you know, the best food and everything. That's how I felt when I came back. And I thank you all for that. Not quite done yet. So in Psalm 128:1, I have here, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him." That's what I felt like that moment where I had to think before I came back to church, was I had to be obedient to him. Even though my flesh didn't want me to come because I was scared, I had to be obedient. I had to lean on God and his comfort and his peace to bring me here. And the blessings that I got, I cannot stop talking about. These men studied many years in advance to know that Jesus was to be the King of Kings. In addition to being obedient, they also had great faith. Through faith, these men gave of their time and finances for this long journey. Like the Magi, we need to be obedient and faithful in all things. We need to consistently study the Word, fellowship with one another, and ask our leadership what we can do to contribute in an effort to bring honor and glory to God. That's the real reason why we do this. The Magi worshiped Jesus with the right attitude and gratitude. Their worship did not start or end with them falling on their faces to worship Jesus. Their worship began years in advance and continued as they presented their gifts. They brought riches. They brought their best, not their leftovers. They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These items were very expensive gifts. They were befitting a king. Are you willing to give the best for your king? What's our best? For me, it was my life in these moments of time. And an example I can come up with is, throughout my career, I was driven by my own will and desire alone. Ever since I was young, I was like a go-getter. I joined the Air Force. I really wanted to be in the Air Force. I wanted to work on fighter jets and work on jet engines. I did it. I made it happen. You know, I did all these things, and I was working my way up in the ranks. It was like I was going fast, you know. And then one day, a lot of things started falling apart. And even though I had all these things and achieved all these things, it didn't matter, because that was just what I wanted, not what God wanted for me. What God wanted for me was greater. And it took for me to go through these storms to realize the gift that he gave me, you know. And once I realized that gift, it changed everything. It made those goals all go away and make me want to please him as my goal, to serve him the best that I can, because even though when I wasn't serving him, he was helping me out. You know, he was covering me. He was keeping me safe, so that way one day I can realize. So I have here Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so when you're thinking about giving your best, think about that. You know, my best was my life, and I chose to give that to him instead. What are you going to give to him? To be obedient and have faith, we have to humble ourselves and follow those examples the Magi set for us. What gifts are you offering Jesus this Christmas? An occasional thought, or the worship he deserves? Thank you.
Thank you, Ricardo. You know, there's a lot of genuine feelings when we share about ourselves. Speaking about and reading about the wise men, we can learn different things. But I remember years and years ago after college, I was talking to some friends and we had, you know, gotten together for a Bible study. And one of them, it was one of those things that when you're young, it's like you know it, but you never realize it, that you can be wise men or wise women, but you're never wiser than the wise man. You know, so sometimes just submitting ourselves and, you know, finding that out again can breathe totally new life. So at this point, Alex, come on up.
Good morning, everyone. Great job, Ricardo. That was seriously an awesome teaching. So when I found out that I would be speaking this week, it was about a month ago, and, you know, at first I was praying. I was like, God, you know, just give me something relatable and personable that I can talk to everyone about. And then, you know, I went on and started worrying about Christmas presents, worrying about Christmas dinner, what I was going to wear. And I get back to this teaching, and I'm like, I have like a week, you know, to do this. And I'm like, God, where has my mind been? And he showed me, you know, he was like, you have been focusing too much on the world's version of the holiday season instead of focusing on the true meaning of Christmas. So, you know, he revealed to me that I needed to shift my focus onto how to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Being a Christian, I am lucky to know, you know, I'm blessed to know the true meaning of Christmas, but being a human, I'm quick to get caught up in what the world says, you know? I'm quick to get caught up in the things that don't really matter. So realizing this, you know, I started praying. I was like, okay, God, if this is, you know, what's going on, this is what I need to talk about, how can I change, you know, my focus? How can I shift my focus back onto what you want me to celebrate this Christmas? And he showed me a few simple actions that I can do every single day, and that's what I want to share with you guys today. The first action that I felt was spoken to me was to be a blessing. I personally work in the food industry. I don't always want to be nice to everyone. You know, people come in, they're not nice to me. But if, you know, the God who sent Jesus for us, you know, Jesus came here and he washed the disciples' feet. You know, if he can do that, I can be nice to people who come in who aren't always nice to me, right? He showed this practical task. Let's see. It says, the Christmas season is a great time to serve one another. I'm not saying to take off your neighbor's shoes, but maybe take someone a meal or spend time with somebody who might not have anybody this Christmas. When Jesus was here on earth, he talked about being a servant, but what did it mean and how does it apply to us today? When he talked about being a servant, he was describing someone who benefits others and someone who sacrifices for another person's joy. So even if somebody, you know, isn't bringing you joy, it's God wants us to bring them joy anyways. Something powerful happens when we serve others. When we don't think of others, but we put the needs of someone else before our own, we find joy and deep satisfaction in our lives. Jesus set the greatest example of a perfect servant. His whole life on earth was about serving others. Christ's birth is the most precious blessing we have all received, and that blessing gave us the ability to have eternal life. What better way to celebrate and remember the true meaning of Christmas than by being a blessing and serving those around us as Christ did and continues to do for us? That I felt God wanted me to talk about today is to have an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 tells us to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just take a second to think about that, you know? We have to have those in all circumstances. What better way can we do that than by having a daily attitude of gratitude? I know that I personally am quick to forget that I am very blessed. Even when I'm in, you know, especially when I have a lot going on, when I'm really stressed out, my first thought is to not focus on being grateful, but just focus on the situation that I'm going through. For example, we just purchased our first home, which is awesome. Thank God, right? And as I'm up here right now, that is, you know, if anybody asked me, I'd be like, yeah, it's great. It's awesome. There's no stress. You know, I wouldn't bring up the stress that we have with it. because we are super blessed. But I have found myself allowing the stress of renovations and money to, you know, steal some of my joy. We all know that when we don't have joy, that gratitude becomes distant. So when God changed my attitude about things and just being grateful for the fact, you know, we have a house, we have a place for our kids to grow up in, gratitude became very near again, and I was very thankful for all that he has done. The Christmas season can be hard with financial struggles and personal struggles, whatever you're going through. But when we show God gratitude, he's quick to return the favor by filling us with his peace and his joy. Having an attitude of gratitude is the main point that I want to talk about, but it's also very important to have an attitude of gratitude to those around us. For example, we bought our first house. Unfortunately, it does need fixing up, even though I promised I wouldn't get into any fixer-uppers. I am living in 1970 still, right now. So, but it's getting better. It's getting better. My husband and I still have jobs, and we still have two children to take care of. So with all that, we felt like there was no way we were going to get done. We had a 30-day notice, you know, we put in for our apartment. We have to be out by those 30 days. But we had to rip up floors and ceilings and, you know, so we are very grateful for the people that have put in the time and effort to help us reach, you know, those goals that we want to get to so we can move in. And I especially want to thank my dad and my grandpa because they've been there every single day since we got the keys. You know, they've been busting their backs. My grandpa's almost 80 and he was putting up drywall. You know, that's God. That's a blessing to me, you know. So when preparing and celebrating for this Christmas, share your attitude of gratitude with everyone you come in contact with. You know, retail workers, servers. I'm not trying to be like, oh, come to my work and be nice, but hey, I wouldn't mind it. You know, I work in food and some people can be really not nice this year, so you might be, or this time of year, but you might be the only person that's sharing gratitude with those people, you know. Let's make an atmosphere that everyone can enjoy and remember. Another point that I want to speak about is remembering to choose God's joy. The world has a way of making this time of year feel very chaotic and stressful and exhausting, definitely. I personally let those things get in the way of the fact that I have the choice of God's joy. The real joy of Christmas is found when we focus on Jesus. He came into the world so we could have eternal life with him and also enjoy every day of our lives while we're here. That means obviously the Christmas season, even when we're in a long line at Walmart. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So when the thief is trying to steal your joy, just remember that God came for us to have that joy. Romans 14:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. His joy is part of what God has for our everyday lives, and we can choose to receive and live with that joy even when the list of things seem never-ending, like most of our kids' Christmas lists. So I have listed here that there are many things that can increase our joy. For example, giving to others, like I mentioned before, just being that blessing. Focusing on others and doing things for them can bring joyful experiences not only to our own lives, but to theirs as well. It doesn't have to be an expensive gift. You can just simply give someone your time, be a listening ear, be the brother or sister that Christ has called us to be. For me, it helps. I create a mental list in my head of the things that bring me joy during the Christmas season. I love seeing my kids light up on Christmas morning. I love taking them to see Christmas lights. Or this year was my daughter's first year decorating a Christmas tree that she could really understand it. And when we gave her an ornament, you would have thought we gave her $10 million right there. She was just so happy. And that really just brought true joy to my heart. Another thing that can increase our joy is to remember to please God and not people. This time of year, it's very easy to want to be the yes man. You know, you want to be able to do everything for everyone. But if you feel like God is calling you to take a rest, you know, focus more on him, then let's remember to keep the joy of the Lord the center of it all. I just have a couple of verses that I want to share with that. Luke 2:10-11. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" In Psalm 118:24, also says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And the last action that I wanted to talk about with everyone is remembering that love is an action word. God so loved the world that he gave his son into this world to save us from our sins. And as we focus on God's love for us, we can make room this Christmas for Jesus to just really come near to us. Jesus showed us that our daily life is not separate from our faith, that our every thought and action can show love in a world that so desperately needs it. Making room for God's love in our lives allows us to see ourselves as he sees us, which then allows us to overflow that love onto everyone else's lives. Christmas time is the perfect time to live out the love God sent us through Jesus, because just as we exchange gifts with one another, God's love is one of the greatest gifts that he gave to us. And as most of us are with a lot of friends and family this year, we can ask God, you know, how can I demonstrate this love to others? Because love truly is the heart of the season. 1 John 4:10 says, "Here's what love is. It is not that we loved God, it's that he loved us and sent his son to give his life to pay for our sins." So, you know, just wanted to close with, if you're going through a lot this season, you feel stressed out, you feel like you can't find the true peace and joy that you know is supposed to come with Christmas, I pray that maybe some of these actions would just help you to get through and really find the true meaning of Christmas and what God really wants us to have it be about, which is him. Thank you, guys.
Very nice job, Alex. You know, I'm listening to Ricardo. I'm listening to Alex trying to process things. And Ricardo, it was much easier, very mainstream. She gave me 4 points to try to hit. So being a blessing, you know, it can be a small little action. Bob was a blessing. I would have never thought to turn that stand down. I don't have a lot of experience with that. It was a very small thing Bob did that helped her. You know, having an attitude of gratitude, you know, working at a middle school, so many times you see a student, I won't say, well, fly off a handle. How about that? At somebody that does something small because they might not realize what it is. So they always react with an attitude based on how it is. Instead of maybe, I'm not saying to, you know, be a doormat to someone, but greet them back with positivity. See how they react back to it. Okay, our third one. You know, it's funny that there's a big song right now, Old Church Choir, where one of the lyrics is, "There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy." You know, and if we look at that, that's something that we can live by. You know, if we decide that the joy of God is something that we want to have at all times, bam, there it is. And then the last one, Fred, this one's for you. Love is a verb, right? A DC Talk lyric, love is a verb. It is an action word. So it is something we do. It's not something that can only be seen. It's not something that other peoples can do. It's something that we can do. We can show love at all times. So those are our 4 points. Shane is up now. Come on up, Shane.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. All right, so actually, me being up here is quite a surprise, more so to probably my family than anyone. Because in my family, I am known as the Grinch, Scrooge, and some evil Santa Claus named Krampus. I don't recommend anyone look it up. I was told not to bring it up. But that's what my wife calls me, even though she denies it. And the reason it happened to me is actually, if anyone in this building has ever worked in retail, it will kill the Christmas joy. I've listened to the same 12 songs on repeat from November 1st all the way until Christmas, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to look at lights, Christmas trees, anything. I don't want to sell them. I don't want to have anything to do with it. But the one thing I did enjoy, and the one thing I definitely still enjoy, and a lot of probably everyone in here can still agree, is that the giving of gifts is something we can enjoy. Now, this opened up to me recently because I had a daughter. It made it so when I'm given a gift, I see her face light up, and she's just tearing through that paper. It makes buying gifts even more fun because I'm sitting at Target, and I'm like, we're buying this and this, and I don't like that because it's not loud enough. And my wife just cringes every time she sees me do this. But it actually wanted me, I actually wanted to read a short quote, because the one thing that we like to, that I like, is the gifts. So it says, "It came without ribbons, it came without bows, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. Maybe Christmas," he thought, "doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more." So it was the Grinch. Ironically enough, I wanted to read from that, because even the Grinch realized that there was more to this season than what he had initially thought. And in transitioning from what I enjoy most and what the Grinch finally realized wasn't the point, is it was mentioned in communion, Jesus is the greatest gift that we could have ever received. So I wanted to read John 3:16, and we have the old school version up here, so you don't have to put it up there if you don't want to. It's, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I think as Christians, first of all, we often think that verse is kind of cliche. It's the first one I memorized as a kid, and it's the one I still remember today. It's not on my paper. But it's not. It's the foundation of our faith, is that love that God shared for us. And I think often when we read that verse, we go from the beginning right to the end. For God so loved the world that he gave us eternal life. Well, that's not what it says. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And that's what that verse really is representing, is it's the eternal life is a benefit from the gift that he's actually given us. So in talking about Jesus being that greatest gift, I kind of wanted to touch on just 3 points. I don't have 4. I wanted to cut it back a little bit. No offense, Alex. But the first point I wanted to say is, who is Jesus and what made him so special? It's something we know the name, we sing about it, but why is he so special and who was he? So I want to read from Colossians 2, chapter 9. It says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and you have been made complete in Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. And when that says that the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, what does that mean? Well, there's a big theological word called the incarnation, and that's what they talk about this season, but layman's terms, it just means that it's God in the flesh. That this baby that's birthed isn't just merely a baby. It's not just the Messiah coming. This is God himself in the flesh coming down for humanity. And then the second thing I think is what made him so special. It's that a lot of religions, including ours, point to us being like God. But almost no religions, if any, had their God come down to be like man. And that's a unique fact that we have to hold on to, because the reality is he came down to us, took the lowly form of even a servant, as Philippians says, and a lot of translations say even a slave, to serve us. And whose God can say they did that other than ours? So the second point I wanted to talk about is, what did God give us when he gave himself up in Christ? I'm going to revisit Colossians. It says, we have been made complete in Christ. So this season especially, I know myself, as we ask for a lot of things. But that verse states that we've been made complete in Christ. So whatever we're seeking, those things we're asking for, in my case, I ask for a lot of actually practical things. I want my socks and underwear and all the stuff that I would prefer now that I'm a little older. But the more important things that we're starting to seek is the joy, that peace. Well, we've been made complete in Christ. So when we look to see those things, we need to seek him first. He gave us someone to seek when that joy comes. It's not about just asking for joy. It's let's get more of Christ so we can get that joy. It's not just asking for peace. It's let's seek Christ so we can receive that peace. And that goes for anything that we're looking for. Any need that's going to be filled is we're going to need to seek him first. When we think of what he actually gave in Christ, he gave us a gift that continuously gives. It's a non-stop giving. And we just have to accept that gift when it comes. My third point I want to talk about is, what should our response be now that we've accepted that gift? That's something we need to, actually, it's a responsibility. And not in the negative connotation, because when I think of responsibility, I think of my dad. And, son, you got a lot of things coming. You write a list of things you need to do. He's kind of like Santa Claus in that way, but just with chores and work. But we need to, first off, conform ourselves to be more like him. Now, that's hard this type of season. If anyone lives in this area, I tried to drive up the hill, and I can feel myself getting further and further away. As every driver comes, everything happens. I'm just like, nope, not today. But it has to be a constant focus. It's got to be our daily commitment to where when we wake up, we need to be more like him. Because that gift that he's given us in himself is what we need to strive after to represent that God in the flesh that lived that life. And the second is that we need to share this gift of Christ with others. This is the gift that keeps on giving. And we're expected to give it to others. It's not something we want to hide. It's not something we want to just hold into ourselves, because we realize what's been given to us. We have that eternal life. That's the benefit. We have that peace. We have that joy. And now it's on us to give that gift to others. So when we, like Alex said, are greeting people in the other stores, if you're like me in the cranky retail store, you share that gift with others because you don't know if that's going to be that moment that changes their entire life. So in concluding, though Christmas is still on its way, there's two things I think we'll just focus on. Is first that we have given, Christ has came, and he is God in the flesh, not just a man, and he's came for us because how much he loved us. The second is that we're privileged to be able to share this gift with others. We really feel privileged to have that, not only to be able to receive it, but then now to share it. And I think that's something that we need to take a little more time to realize, especially personally, because I don't find myself sharing as much as I want to when I'm wagging my fist like an old man in the car or sitting in long lines. But I think it's something we all need to take a little bit more of a look at. So I just wanted to close with that, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Merry Christmas.
How was that? That was great, wasn't it? Again, you know, the these guys are so funny because they remind me of myself. I mean, they were told months out, yeah, you're going to get, oh, yeah, no problem, man. And next thing you know, oh, my God, I got a week, you know, and but the thing is, you know, you trust in the Lord, amen. He's there in all times. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. Even when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing and being procrastinators, he still covers us, amen. And as we close this service, could I have the prayer team come up? I just wanted to share with you this whole holiday season, this whole Christmas season. We've pushed it out there time and time again that Jesus is the reason for the season. And Eli had an interesting message this morning, and we all prayed for that message, and he came through with flying colors, but I know it was the Holy Spirit leading and guiding him on what to teach. And one thing he mentioned that really, really got me was when he, and I know this is going to sound weird, but he mentioned Robin Williams about how he was a great comedian, always laughing, he performed great, and you would think that this guy was a happy-go-lucky guy, but inside he was in pain the whole time. And Eli encouraged us that sometimes you can come up to a brother or a sister, and on the outside, it can look like they're doing great, you know? And he said the enemy can use that to defer you from doing what God wants. God might tell you to give them a word, or he might tell you to pray for them. But when you see in your own mind that, oh, well, they look like they're doing okay, nah, I just won't do it. You know, then the enemy gains victory there. And so my prayer as we close here today is that if you're hurting, if you've lost your way, if you're not giving your all, now is the opportunity to get it right. I mean, Christmas is officially 3 days away. And yeah, like Alex was sharing, it's so nice to see, you know, my grandkids. I got 10 grandkids and a great-grandchild. And I can't wait to see their faces open up their gifts as well. But you better believe, and I just want to thank my family for being here. They just really blessed my socks off. I didn't expect it. But, Brian, there's Nick, by the way. See, now that's a true Buckeye fan. Even though we won, he showed up for church. Amen? But, no, I am going to make sure, and I would ask you to make sure, that you share Jesus amongst all the gifts, the food, the fellowship. Make Jesus the reason for the season. Amen? Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Stand up for what you believe in. Amen? Let's close. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity for you to minister to these people here today, your family, Lord God. And Lord, right now I just pray if anyone's suffering, if anybody's in pain, or if anybody's lost their way, Lord God, that you would minister to their hearts right now, Lord God, that they wouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed, Lord God, that they would just come forward and receive you, Father God, an anointing, a blessing from you, God, and that they would remember you on this day and every day, Father God, that you've never left them, you've never forgot them, Lord. You've been by their side the whole time. And Lord God, I just pray a blessing upon each and every one of us here, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would use us in a mighty way, Lord God, to minister to family and friends who might not know you, Lord, or who might have lost their way, Lord God. That you would give us the courage, the boldness, Father God, to step out in your spirit, Lord, and present you as that one and almighty gift, Lord, the ever-giving gift, the precious gift of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Portion, and he is our prize.